Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. In just a moment, we'll get to C.J. Stroud, the quarterback of your Texans, joining the Pat McAfee Show. Noted Colts fan and, I guess, former player for the Colts. And, they did a lot of that back and forth, but C.J. gave some interesting insight into himself and this team. But before we get there, Texans practicing outside today, getting their week going in earnest when it comes to getting ready for the Patriots on Sunday. And we mentioned earlier that Joe Mixon is not practicing, but who is practicing? Damian Pierce.
Damian Pierce is practicing.
Welcome back to practice, Damian Pierce, which means it seems like he is on the road to potentially playing and being running back one for your Texans.
Never been happier to see old Damian, have we?
I know, man.
It's like, we need you, brother. We need you.
So he is practicing. Jimmy Ward, again, not practicing. Where do you fall on that? Like, how does that hit you? Because I feel like your young Bucks have played really well back there at safety.
They have. Interestingly, Jimmy Ward and Kamari Lassiter, by the way.
That is true. Correct.
Kamari Lassiter is not practicing.
Which that would give us a little bit of understanding as to the urgency that it seemed like this team started having in bringing in cornerback.
Yeah.
Kadir Holman was the one in particular that was signed from the practice squad of the Ravens onto the 53-man roster, and maybe that gives a little insight. Not saying that definitively anything is happening with Kamari. I'm just working off of this one thing that Kamari is not practicing today. But maybe, just maybe, that gives us a little insight into, we need to add another cornerback to what we're doing.
The Jimmy Ward question, I feel he's like very important, obviously, because they need the help at the safety position. They've had some trouble at the safety position. But when the progression of importance of practices is Wednesday and Thursday are the biggest practices in terms of oftentimes, you know, shells or pads and more actual practice in preparation for the game. But Friday is the barometer if he's playing or not. Like, if they don't do the walkthrough, maybe you can't practice as much on Wednesday or Thursday, but if you don't do the walkthrough Friday, you're probably not going to play. So a good level of concern, but not, you know, too worried just yet. We'll see what happens tomorrow and Friday with both Lassiter and Jimmy Ward. And those are two, you know, big pieces when you're facing a rookie quarterback as well.
Yeah. You know? Now, this is the piece of news from practice that kind of perks my ears up, and maybe not in a good way. It makes me really attentive. This is per Cody Stoops.
Mm-hmm.
No Laramie Tunsil or Titus Howard at practice today for the Texans.
Yeah.
Well, it's Wednesday, right?
It is Wednesday.
That's what I'm saying. The progression, let's see how it goes. Wednesday's important. Don't get me wrong. But I think Thursday, Friday, you gain a little bit. Laramie Tunsil, I'm not too worried about in terms of like injury and all that. I mean, they might just be giving him that day again in the middle of the as we get approach the middle of the season here. He's got some games
under his belt.
Management. Titus, not so much. Titus needs to practice. Titus would practice if healthy. So there's something going on there for sure.
Yeah. Although Blake Fisher played admirably, he handled himself.
I thought he did more than fine. He got run over once.
Yeah, but it did lead to a big fumble, unfortunately. But yeah, he handled himself pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And he is at practice, but that is the guy that would be up again if Titus Howard again was not able to play in the course of this. So that's what's happening when it comes to practice, the news that we've gotten there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, C.J. Stroud jumped on the Pat McAfee Show. We were kind of surprised to see it yesterday. We probably should have known ahead of time. But there you go, C.J. Stroud on Pat McAfee. And he had some interesting things to say. One of those things that was asked about was CJ Stroud talking about the two high safeties defenses mm-hmm. that he's been seeing a lot. And Pat asked this question. What do you mean when you say that you're still trying to figure out?
Mel Kiper Jr. actually went on television and said we need to ban cover two because of what it's doing to NFL offenses. You just talked about learning it. What does that mean for you? What is it, just taking the easy one as opposed to always taking the shot or trying to dissect the defense a little bit more? What do you mean by that whenever you say trying to figure out cover two a little bit more?
I've been playing against it forever, but, you know, it's a defensive philosophy, in my opinion, like bend, don't break, and just make you snap it over and over and over and over, you know? So, I mean, that's where I think we can get better for the Texans, just, you know, being able to get our running game going a little more. Also, you know, not taking any or not just getting cheap penalties because then that puts you in a backed up situation or first and 20, second and 20, first and 15, second and 15. I mean, you're living on third down and it's hard to live on third down in the NFL. So I would say, like, you know, I'm taking what's there. I'm taking the shots when I see them. But also, you know, just, you know, being able to stay in the positive, stay in the green is what we talk about here. And I think, you know, that's kind of what defenses are doing nowadays to, you know, some of the premier quarterbacks. You see Mahomes get to a ton. Josh Allen gets it a ton. You know, it's hard to always just be patient. Sometimes you just want to force it down the field. So, you know, it's just a lot of maturity that you have to have at this position when you're, you know, looked at as one of the guys that can, you know, beat a defense and they don't want to take you away.
You know, the best part about that when I heard it is the two things he said kind of toward the beginning, like we have to run the ball better. You know, we say it, you know, they talk about it, but that as if, you know, we've got guys that can get the job done. Your quarterback just said we got to run the ball better.
That was the thing for me as well.
Right.
That's what we've been harping on, and for mm-hmm. me personally, he basically laid out mm-hmm. all the things I've been talking about or that I feel about this offense. Got to run the football better, not put themselves in and give themselves penalties, easy penalties, because it puts themselves in tough situations. And the fact that he says that out loud, one, like obviously they've identified that in the building, not like it's hard to identify, but that they're harping on it. But two, it feels like that is a level of stress that it applied to the quarterback, and him saying that and being forward with it feels like it's an identifier that, hey, this isn't a level of stress that you're placing on CJ Stroud, that he is very cognizant of it. The fact that you're living on third downs mm-hmm. and that it's not a good diet when it comes to how you get your job done there. And so, yeah, the fact that he's aware of that. Was really a highlight for me.
I think he's more honest than anybody over there that we've seen. And I'm not criticizing because, you know, D'Amico's going to protect his guys and all that. And, oh, we got guys that we trust and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But when the quarterback says we got to run the ball better, and really not too far behind that is the penalties, because he knows, like, that's worse than not running the ball.
Those are all the things that put you in second and third and long. Yeah.
And that's where the cover two really goes to work.
Yeah, for sure. Is that now we could force you to throw the ball underneath, not be able to get those first downs. And I thought that was also helpful to understand, especially once you go into these next 4 weeks without Nico Collins as well, right?
Yes.
One of the biggest big play guys that you've been able to have on this team. Continuing after that, obviously, you mentioned kind of the maturity that's necessary to just not try and force a deep shot, you know, take the underneath. And Pat then asked him, well, how are you already so mature as a quarterback in the NFL?
Do you just kind of drop in here and you're a 90-year-old man at the most important position in the NFL? Why do you think you have that maturity level already?
I would say it has to do somewhat in my time at Ohio State. Definitely prepared me, you know, not only on the field, but off as well. So I would honestly say just who I am kind of as a person. I think I've always kind of been a mature kid since I've been little. Now, like, I'm just maturing as a man. But I definitely think as I talk to defenses around the league after games, they're like, man, we're going to take you away and force other guys to beat us. So, you know, and I think that's a sign of respect, you know, but also, you know, we're still finding ways to win, which that is what matters at the end of the day.
It's just in him. I mean, it's either just in you or it's not. And when it's in you at a young age, it's going to be in you like that. And, you know, that's the thing. What did he just turn 23? Right? He just turned 23?
I'm trying to remember.
I believe.
Is that right?
And that's just, like, this is not necessarily like any breaking news or any secrets. It's just in him. Like, he's a quarterback that is just a mature guy, and that's what makes him so good.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure it's relatively prevalent, but the idea that when he's talking to defenses after the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just getting little nuggets and insights.
Even the Caleb Williams thing. Which is one of the reasons I defended him on that. I think he's just a more mature guy.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, so this was one that was kind of funny. Pat McAfee, and I understand what McAfee's going for by asking this question. He asked, Do you surprise yourself in games at all, or is it all just expected and confident?
Hey, listen, that can't be happening against Indianapolis. You hear me? That's one of the nicest throws of all time. And you say, like, I have to remind people this is regular. Is there throws or is there moments in games where after something happens, you go, damn, I can't believe that happened? Is there anything that surprises you anymore, or do you have full confidence in everything you're doing?
I would say I have full confidence. You know, I'm very humble at the same time, but I know what I can do on the field. I know that there's no defense for the perfect throw. So I just really, it's just, you know, you got to just be able to focus in those moments. I seen you and Tyrese over there going crazy. So, you know, I had to hush y'all boys. I was trying to look at y'all after. I think y'all left. Y'all beat the traffic.
Okay. Whoa. These tight streets down there.
I was trying to find you.
just a great throw, that one out to the Nico.
Yeah.
Week one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love that response. That he took it to having a little fun with it, poking at those guys. But, yeah, you had to know that was going to be the answer. Just be confident, right?
For sure. He's not going to say, you know, I surprised myself. But I think he actually, when he watches film,
yeah,
he's like, damn, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
We were talking about this yesterday as well, the idea that I wonder if you phrase that question differently. It was just like, hey, when you go back and you look at him, are you amazed at some of the things that you can do?
Yes,
right?
You brought that up yesterday.
It was actually B-Scott, in fact.
It was B-Scott. Yes, it was a good point because even though you know you have confidence, you make the throw, you do these things, you know, whatever play it might be, once you see it on film, sometimes you got to be going, wow, that's, you know, didn't expect it to be that good.
That one was tough, right? Yeah. You got to be able to appreciate your work a little bit.
Exactly.
And I've got to imagine that he takes time and looks at him and is just at least really excited about the things he can do, because I can tell you for damn sure I am.
Yeah.
But man, it is gorgeous in seeing those. And then CJ got the people going with this one. He was asked, or he was basically talking about the crowds when it comes to this, and Pat asked about, you know, how the crowds have been this season.
How's the crowds been? Crowd's been insane?
Yeah, it's been cool. Last game was like a playoff game. It was pretty nice. And, you know, it's 12 o'clock game is a little different in Houston is because, you know, there's a lot to do out here. So we really don't get nobody until like first quarter. But the people who come early, thank you. Appreciate it. But it's all love, though. Like they, it's been loud, though. It's been really loud. Like the Bears game was amazing. Felt like a playoff game. Last game felt like a playoff game. So, you know, it's on the uprise.
Yeah, there's a lot to do down there in Houston. That's why what you were able to do as a rookie down there without being distracted is insane.
A lot to do. unless he's taking a shot at the tailgaters or something.
I don't know.
He's letting people off the hook, man.
I think he's doing that. But
what are we doing before noon?
No, he's sending a message. Like, he's saying, guys, get in there, man. You know, they can let off all the fireworks they want.
But he's a nice guy, though.
But he's just nice about it. Yeah. Look, they appreciate it. You know, it was a great atmosphere. As many Buffalo Bills fans as there were, it was really, they were drowned out,
especially once you get to the second half and this thing is pumping. But
yeah, but he's being the leader. Get your butts in there, man.
Right. He and this is not the first time he's done that in this very, very short season. Right. Late arriving crowds here is again, and here comes from the 832 text. We need to get off of the blaming late arriving crowds. We're fans. It's entertainment for us. It's the players' jobs. No one cheers us on at our jobs. Nor can we blame that or on underperforming at our jobs.
I don't agree.
I think
fans feel like they have a say.
These are two different worlds.
Yeah,
though.
Fans feel like they have a say. You know, when they're forcing
they do have a say.
That's what I'm saying. When they're forcing the other team to false start, and when they're making it difficult for them to take signals and make calls and all that.
And then other teams' fans get there early.
You're darn right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think for me, I understand that to a degree, but I think that's when. And I understand that the team is also working on this, but just got to see if you can find the right incentives
mm-hmm.
to get folks in that place where they're doing the thing that you would like, which is getting in there early and, you know, being loud and proud in the ways that you hope.
We're getting into the territory here of it's almost inexcusable because they've won for since last year now.
Felt like they was kind of led off the hook a little bit.
It was understandable.
Ain't nobody expect the team to be good.
Right.
So that kind of caught everybody by surprise.
No, we're getting into that territory where if you're a Texans fan, not, a lot of times there's no telling who you're selling your tickets to, but why are you selling them if for a game like that?
Or
like
even Buffalo? who has season tickets?
Exactly.
And why do you have the season tickets?
And it's not like, hey, I wonder if they're going to be any good. I wonder what my expectation. No, we know they're going to be good. We know the expectations are high. We know they're entertaining. We know they have a superstar quarterback. Like, how far are we? A couple more home games. If it's the same, it's like no excuse. You got to get your ass in there.
Okay.
I feel that way.
I hear what this person is talking about. I tend to, like, I don't know if I fully go to that place, but I understand, mm-hmm. like, the idea that we've kind of shamed fans for not being in there. And I'm like, I don't know that responsibility is the word that comes to mind here. I'm not sure if that's the exact same one.
Have we shamed them, though? Or are we just telling people, like, what's going on?
I'm just kind of curious. Yeah, because, right. like,
yeah. And some people, like, will point to the idea
people always
of security.
Look at, yeah, that people look at the city. Like, we're not that type of town that get there, all that stuff. But I just wonder, like, it's other cities that get there and be their butts be in the seat yeah. early.
Other cities have distractions.
Like, what can we, yeah.
Other cities have traffic.
So I'm wondering what do we
other
have to do?
Other cities tailgate.
What do we have to do to get there?
Again, you know, a couple more home, what's the next big home game here where if it's another late arriving crowd, it's almost like we're almost in that territory of this is just not acceptable if you're a true fan. Well, you got the Lions on Sunday Night Football, November 10th.
Yeah.
And I feel like those games, I feel like.
But that's also a night game.
Yeah, that's a night game.
You should get there.
Yeah, sure.
There's less of an excuse.
Are we having issues with the night games? Or?
But that's just excuse making.
Yeah,
man.
Because I think the problem to me is the noon games.
Don't you feel as a fan, Reggie, Figgy, like you're the squad that you love? When I'm at a game and I go to a game, I'm like, I'm gonna be in there. I gotta see it all. I gotta take it all in.
Oh, know? Yeah, like I love being early because I'm super interested in, like, seeing as much of the nuts and bolts as I possibly can.
I will say it is some issues as far as I found myself in that issue at times where I do get there early, but wifey want a hot dog or wifey want something to drink. Mm-hmm. And then them lines be crazy. And by that time, I'm missing the kickoff. Or, you know, it is some situations like that where, you know, it's nothing you can do about it.
Yes.
But it seems like other places don't have that problem, though.
Or at least they find ways to navigate those problems. Some people bring it up, you know, how great the tailgate is in H-Town, for sure. And so maybe the answer is giving more time for the tailgate ahead of time. But yeah, it does feel like there's still some adjusting necessary to get that right. But ultimately, the fact of the matter is it's noticeable for the players on the field.
The players notice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. That was CJ on Pat McAfee. It was fun to listen to. Good job by Pat McAfee doing that. CJ also stood his ground, poking at him a little bit, making sure that they know, hey, man. Texas run this thing.
You get out of town early? You get out of stadium early?
Yeah, he sure is. I didn't see you. When we won the game, I looked around for you. Could not find you. Which you can always find here in the loop at 120 hereabouts is Figgy's Mixtape. Fig, where we going?
Man, Figgy's Mixtape, we going to do some music stuff, man. Ooh. I'm gonna put the name of the segment and come up with some music. And look, we got some music that are very popular for our black folks. That's white music.
Okay.
And so I'm going to go through a list of things. Plus, I think we got to do a little investigation, man. I think something around here was stolen.
Oh, no.
And a lot of people are pointing the finger at this station.
Oh, wow.
So we got to get down to it, man.
We got a whodunit and a cultural convention of ideas. I love this. We'll do all that next. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. Your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. I'm going to crank up some music in a little bit.
All right.
But we got to investigate a little bit, man. Hey, I'm
this is the first I've heard of this.
Yeah, this is the first I heard. I actually heard about this a couple breaks ago where I'm just like, wait, what? Like, what's going on? So let me get my investigation music.
All right.
So shout out to 100.3 The Bull. They are a sister station. They got a lot going on. They got 10-man jam. They announced the lineup and all that. Mm-hmm. And the Morning Bullpen, George from the Morning Bull, who been in the game for 50 years. He just celebrated 50
yeah.
years.
Yeah. That's
I'm
wild.
Like, oh, yeah,
that's
50 years.
Wild.
But, Eric with a K and Mo.
Mm-hmm.
So Mo had I guess she had some type of baby gift or
yeah.
something going on, and apparently it came up missing. It was around here, it came up missing.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody around here took it. I don't know what happened to it, but somebody took it.
Somebody's stealing baby gifts, huh?
Yeah. So this is this is her story.
I am the victim of an office robbery.
Whoa, what?
Someone brought me a gift for my toddler, and they left it here at the station. I went to get it, and I can't find it anywhere. But I know, because I saw video footage, that someone that works here at the radio station stole it.
Somebody works at our station?
No. I know we have 4 different radio stations here on our floor.
Okay.
Someone at one of the other radio stations took it.
Oh, so it's either Mega 101, mm-hmm. it's Mix 96.5, uh-huh. it's The Spot, or it's Sports Radio 610.
Or our own station, I suppose.
Is it somebody that's like on the air?
Yes, they're on the air.
Oh, wow.
And I give them 24 hours to return it, or I'm calling them out.
Okay, 24 hours from right now, if they don't come clean, we're putting them on blast.
So they posted this. Mm-hmm. They actually posted this video on their Instagram.
Yeah.
On the Bull Houston. And I'm going to look up. So they did like a poll on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the poll, I'm going to give you the numbers on this poll.
Oh, I don't want to hear this.
So right now, we are tied with Mix 96.5 with 41%.
Sure, 40%. Blame the minorities.
So 41, yeah. Wow, that's crazy. 41% of people believe
that we had something to do with
this station.
That
someone
the station,
on the station.
Yeah. So So we are now tied. We was in the lead, but now we're tied with Mix 96.5 and Mega and 95.7 The Spot is at 9%.
So people think it was us, one of us.
Somebody yeah. at the station.
Now she knows, apparently.
Yeah, she said she saw the video.
Yeah, she said that's what was the thing. It was like she saw video footage.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we definitely know that somebody did.
If we going to narrow this down, let's focus on our own business.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I feel like
fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on at the other station, but
okay.
Who is somebody that's more likely to take something?
All right, so
especially a toddler.
On
gift.
Air?
Do we know
yeah,
when
on air.
When did this happen? Because if this happened this week, which I'm guessing it did because she just brought this up,
yeah.
we can write Seth out of here. Seth ain't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ain't
okay.
do it.
All
right. Maybe Sean?
Nah.
Do you see Sean taking something?
I don't think so.
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think, I'm counting us out.
Yeah.
Like
we didn't take anything.
Yeah, if I did have to pick somebody on the show, I would pick Lopez.
What?
Because you do got some grandkids now, man.
That is true. You do have.
Come
you do
on.
Have
you got grandkids, so you might have seen. You might have seen. You might have seen something like, oh, that's kind of nice.
Then I would have bought it.
I don't know, but you the one with the babies around here now, man. So if I had to point a finger, but I don't think you would. I don't think you would do something like that.
From the 832. Fig, it's the first time Lopez hears of it because he took it. Wow, y'all wildin'. Somebody said Ron took it. Y'all better tell Ron to give it back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why? I need to hear explanations. Yeah. Someone said Seth took it accidentally. I could see that happening.
Absolutely.
He probably thought it was his underwear.
Yeah.
All right.
Might have grabbed him or something like that. What about Clint?
Clint does have a toddler.
He got some kids.
He got some
kids. Oh, but you didn't point the finger at him.
No, I am now. I'm saying, I feel like that's a fair person to point at.
Yeah.
It would help if I knew, like, what it was. You know what I mean? Like,
it was
she said
toddler
it's a
gift.
Gift for a toddler. But that, yeah. What does that mean? Like, was it like a Fisher
toy?
A Fisher Price toy?
Or was it like
clothes?
If it was a stuffed toy, Tyler's in the mix because of his dogs. Mm.
Oh.
And Tyler got some nieces and nephews, too.
That's true, too.
Hmm. Okay.
Mm.
Interesting.
But we're going to find out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, if nobody gives it back.
Yeah. Yeah, if nobody gives it back. Yeah.
Oh, we do got Area 45, too. Like, I would put them in the mix, too, because they're here late.
Oh, yeah. Ain't nobody
knows. And most of the times when you leave something for somebody, you leave it up here kind of late at night because you think nobody's up here. But
yeah, the cameras are always on.
Hey, they could be up here snooping around, too, man.
That's right. Yeah.
So. Also, was it clearly marked as a Tyler gift or is this just a package thief? Because that opens this thing back up, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Now, you see just a gift wrapped box. It could be anything.
Yeah. It could be just an Amazon box. Somebody just took it.
Man, Baytown is taking a beating.
Yeah. Ooh, y'all, man. We have opened up the worst of ourselves as human beings. Everybody's just like all the stereotypes
all
that
Baytown
came out.
People, you know, they did it.
That's wild. Bajani easily. All right, now we're just naming this roster. We're just naming everybody on the roster. They clearly did this.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't nobody from this station.
You know who would be my favorite person to do it? Because, like, in a murder mystery or, like, a whodunit, he would be exactly the one that you wouldn't think. Ben. You know, so we didn't even think about Ben.
Yeah, we didn't even bring him up.
Yeah.
Ben just over there chilling in the cut.
Yeah, he could be those quiet ones.
Hey, he could be a mad he could be a mass murderer.
All right, well, let's not put that out there.
We'd never say nothing. We're like, nah, not Ben.
Not Ben.
That's how every movie go too.
Yeah.
But hopefully she find her gift, man. Hopefully it was a misunderstanding.
I just feel attacked. When in doubt, attack the sports station. Hey.
and to be fair, they didn't attack the sports station, but a lot of people
internet
online.
Did. Yeah.
I'm like, dang. I'm like, ain't nobody looking at Mega.
Yeah.
I know Grego probably up here from 95 something the spot, probably snooping around too.
She pointing fingers.
I know,
crazy.
Man. I don't want people pointing fingers at us.
Well, I'm just glad that there is actually video. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to when this comes back around.
I want to see the video.
Yeah.
I would too, to be completely honest.
Salute to the morning bullpen, man.
What if it gets real messy and it's actually someone on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And she was like, I'm going to put this out to someone at the entirety of the station.
Yeah.
But it's actually someone I work with.
Yep, it's Vicky Smith, Staple on Sports Radio 610. Let's get to some music, man.
Let's go.
One of my favorite things to do is just talk about music and kind of reminisce on some of the good times. And we actually had this conversation off air yesterday about the, we call it white people songs that black people love the most. And I got a little list. I'm going to play a couple snippets going down from 10 to 1.
Okay.
And let me be clear, these are not like Blue Eyed Soul songs.
Sure.
So I kept it strictly white songs, so a lot of rock songs, a lot of songs.
Quote unquote white songs.
Yeah. And I'm using that loosely.
So, songs that I guess.
Songs
like,
ain't got no color to it.
Stereotypically, you would think, oh, that's white people music.
Yeah, and this came from a podcast.
Yeah. It was Kev on stage. Shout out to Kev on stage.
That's right.
A very funny guy. But I'm going to start off with one. I'm going to start off with number 10. And this actually, I'm surprised this kind of made the list. But I hear this song often on a certain Marvel movie. Hello, Bonnie Tyler.
That's a song, quote unquote, a white people song that black people like.
Yeah, I guess
that one surprises me.
Does it? Is it? Like, I feel like that's just one of those that everybody knows because it's been in so many like commercials and media and those types of things.
And this song is in Deadpool.
I think
it's been in every Deadpool movie.
Okay, true.
Yeah.
But apparently, I guess a lot of black people like this song.
All right. Okay.
Did not realize that.
The next one, this one, a lot of people do. I think a lot of people, a lot of black people do like this song right here.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to get in the sticks and try to show your versatility, then you'll throw this on like, yeah, I like this song.
Turn it up.
Little Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Skynyrd.
Oh, that's that one definitely.
Yeah, I agree. This one is definitely in there. I hadn't thought about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely one of those.
All right, so this is the next one right here.
Oh, Take On Me?
Yeah.
100%.
MTV, baby. That takes me back to MTV, man. 100%. One of the best MTV actual music videos you'll ever see.
Oh, yeah, the sketched out.
Like, it was cutting edge at the time. It was. Yeah. Why hasn't this been remixed? It's a good beat.
When you
there.
Say remix, I don't know.
What you mean remix?
I meant like redone.
Like sampled or
sampled,
something?
Sampled.
I feel like somebody did sample this.
I feel like someone absolutely had to have sampled this.
Yeah, kind of like in the past 10 years, I want to say. It was like a bit.
Because that has it written all over it.
I think somebody did. I can't put the name to it, but I'm for sure somebody did.
Oh, it looks like it's been sampled a lot.
Oh yeah.
Apparently Pitbull sampled it or something.
That's who it is. Okay. That's who it is.
Today I learned.
Yeah. This song right here I'm about to play right now is very popular at pretty much at the end of weddings, and people just go nuts over this.
Mr. Brightside.
Oh yeah.
Every time the song come on, people just
doesn't
change.
Matter who you are or where you're from.
It do not matter.
I want to hear the rest of it. But I know you got better. I know you got more.
Yeah, there's definitely more. There's some that are coming in. I do wonder, did you end up getting some country in here as well?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not.
Friends of Low Places came up, and yes, that one you will get a sing-along.
I mentioned that to you guys yesterday.
Yeah. You will get a sing-along.
I've seen a lot.
That one, Tennessee Whiskey is one.
Mm-hmm. Black folks love Tennessee Whiskey.
They play that on the R&B station
love
sometimes.
Love Tennessee Whiskey.
100%. Yeah, people are like, oh, that's blues. That's more blues.
Fair
yeah.
enough.
They're, but just, I mean, they're just making excuses why they
like it. Exactly.
You'll definitely find a nice contingent of especially older black folks that country and Western, as they'll call it.
Yeah.
That's their jam. Damn, 100%.
Yeah. How about this one? This one I kind of like this one too.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Like that's especially like children of the 80s or 70s and 80s when you get all them Rockies in here as well.
Going at it.
Yeah, you get all them Rockies in there for sure.
Start going. 832 says, "Hell yeah, I'm a black guy getting crunk right now."
All right, how about this one right here? Today is gonna be the
day that they're gonna throw it back to you. Yeah.
By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do.
Oh my.
I don't believe
a little bit of a surprise to me, to be honest. Yeah.
Feels the way I do.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Absolutely.
You're right.
Oh, we're going through the. I thought we were gonna get to the chorus. Get to the chorus, Biggie.
You've heard it all before, but you never really had it down.
All right.
I ain't got time to get to the chorus.
Yeah, I was like, we don't have time to get to the chorus. All
right. This one I'm going to run through them real quick.
Okay.
A little Queen.
For sure.
A lot of black people love this song, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is funny because I can take it or leave it, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
I like it.
I know. I'm sure more people. I'm the outlier here.
Yeah.
I can take it or leave it.
That's cross-cultural. that is a cross-cultural
Living
song.
On a Prayer is absolutely. You know what? Guitar Hero helped a lot with this one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about this one?
Come on now.
Elite.
Everybody. Yeah. Y'all couldn't even help yourself.
You got to.
Y'all
got
couldn't
to
even
They
help
played
yourself.
This in a black club one time.
Are you for real?
Yeah, they played it. The DJ was cutting the music out. Everybody was just singing.
I'm like,
where am I at?
I always wonder if they're trying to like, when some songs get played, if they're like, yo, we're trying to kill this all so y'all go home.
No. That got the club going.
Okay.
Yeah. A black club.
Yeah.
And the last one, I'm not a fan of this song at all. I think Reggie is on board with me, but this one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's also one that's just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Any culture.
I never liked this song, man.
Really?
I don't, man. This song, you will get jiggy to this. You can't get jiggy to this song.
Apparently you can.
Everybody I seen dance to the song ain't had no rhythm.
This is white people's international players anthem.
No, I said this is white people, Meek Mill, Dreams and Nightmares.
They love that bop, bop, bop.
Yeah.
Which, it goes up at stadiums, man. That is the one that they love doing
big
at
time.
The stadium.
Yeah.
And it gets people going on sing-along. So shout out to that.
Yeah, play it up in Boston, man. They go nuts.
Yep.
Boston's a funny place.
All right.
It's one way to put it.
A little bit of intrigue and a little bit of cross-cultural appreciation. Always appreciate that.
I think maybe sometime this week I might do the opposite. Try to find some black songs that white people like a lot.
Well, I know
I'm going to have to do some research around here.
Yeah, do some... Yeah, let's continue to share cultures there. Boston white song. Yes, 3/4. Yeah.
Now that's a plan, Figgy.
I like that.
Yeah, I have to find the whitest of white person around here.
Where's Parker?
What?
His words, not mine. It's in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. That is Figgy's mixtape. You get it at 120 every day here in the Loop. I quickly tried to move away from that. Coming up next, let's get to talk a little bit more about what Nico Collins being out for the next 4 weeks means for this team. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. And Figgy, when are you doing the inverse of the segment you just did? Because people are hyped about this.
I'm going to have to do it tomorrow.
All right.
Tomorrow's news today.
Yeah. Super tease.
Tomorrow around this time.
Excellent.
Let's say what it is, Figgy.
We're going to talk about black music that white people love.
All right. We were already putting our lists together.
I know, man. We don't need to put all these together in a playlist of some sorts and help the people out. You're listening In the Loop. Practice earlier today. In fact, we should be hearing from D'Amico
in about 11 minutes.
Mere minutes. But practice today offered some interesting combinations of people. Damian Pierce back at practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of interesting. You seem pretty positive and happy.
Well, only
about
because
that.
It's another. I mean, the guy is—he's not a slug. I would prefer.
I don't know exactly.
I know. Lopez wanted him cut. Then you wanted him cut. Lopez.
I never said I wanted him cut.
But you implied it. I seen it in your eyes.
You could feel it.
I seen it.
He's just not my preferred choice. But if Joe Mixon is down and
you want to start,
and Damian Pierce is up, I still want Cam Akers. But it's good to have Damian Pierce. That's where I am.
Okay. Yeah. Especially without British, like having a dude.
Especially without British.
I see what you're doing there.
Cool. Yeah. We got Dare.
That's right.
Put some respect on Dare's
my
name.
My Nigerian brethren.
Absolutely. We'll put respect on that.
I don't know why
name.
I'm so loud. Yeah. Now I'm just hype, I guess.
Got a lot of carries, too.
He sure did 15 of them things this past week. But notable absences. Jimmy Ward did not play or practice. Kamari Lassiter did not practice. Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard did not practice. And so, a lot of interesting things that really give us a little insight into some of the moves that were made. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that continues to play out. Plus, we'll get, like you mentioned, we'll hear from the head coach as well to contextualize some of that. But the big thing that we got today, the biggest news of all today, Nico Collins goes to the IR. So he will miss the next 4 games, at least, at minimum, for your Texans. That is this weekend in New England versus the Patriots, next weekend at Lambeau versus the Packers, then 3 weeks from now back at NRG versus the Colts, and then in the Meadowlands versus the Jets on the 31st on Halloween versus New York. So, yeah, he's not going to be available for those. And you seem to be pretty positive still, even with knowing that hamstring's going to keep him out for at least 4.
Well, yes, in a general sense. If I had to say yes or no, am I positive? Yes. But I feel like it's okay to worry. It's okay to be upset about it because it ain't great. You know, did we ever get that Sean Pendergast reaction to the news as it broke this morning?
We actually did. Let me pull it up.
Because it's okay to do what Sean Pendergast did this morning as the news broke. And that doesn't mean that it's not going to necessarily be able to be handled.
Here we go.
John Lopez.
What? Oh, John Lopez is in the
studio. Nico Collins, what?
Nico Collins to the IR.
Oh, no! Thanks for coming in and telling us that, John.
It's okay to have that reaction.
Is that the Charlie Brown ugh?
Yes, it is.
Is that what just happened?
Arg. That's fine. It's understandable. But I'm not in a place where I'm going to panic because this is what you have. To me, the story of the week is, all right, Steph, let's see it.
I still think it's interesting that you're putting it to Steph because Steph has been
terrific. Well, terrific. He's been very good.
He's been very consistent in what he gives you.
Yeah.
And regardless of what you've asked of him, he's given you that. So I feel like that's the one that I feel most confident that it's going to be there. second most confident is Tank Dell, because I know that he can get there. He just seems like he's been pushed into a place where he's had to serve a certain role, where he's doing more end arounds and that stuff in order to get him the ball.
Yeah.
I think that you can expedite that back up. The thing that for me is something that was already there. Nico Collins not being there just highlights it more, which is first and second down, you got to be so much better, man.
Well, my thing with Steph is he's been a number one wide receiver. You know, he's been the go-to. He's been the guy that can help carry a team in big moments. He knows how to do it. And that's not to say, if he doesn't, you know, have nine catches for 120 yards that it's a bad effort. No, he just needs to fill that role. Because you got him for this reason. You know, you got Steph.
Agreed.
You know, for his experience, leadership, you know, what his big playmaking ability.
But a little bit is insurance as well.
And insurance.
Yeah.
And here we go. You know, it's time. It's not like, oh boy, you better do it or else. No, it's time to show why you got Steph. And I think, you know, we've seen some signs from Xavier Hutchinson, but you just want some plays out of him. Tank Dell can be a big play guy, and maybe he's going to be the one that stretches the field.
Yeah.
I think that's in play. But if you're looking for a guy that can be the anchor, you know, of the receiving core, it's the guy that has actually played pretty, he's gotten better progressively in the last couple of weeks, and that's Steph.
Yeah, and so I think that's fair to point that out, because when you lose a top-end player, it really is just the top-end player type things that you're missing, and Stephon Diggs can give you a facsimile of some of that.
Yeah.
I'd hope and I imagine that he might give you the best chance at some of the scramble drill types things. Maybe Tank, because I know that he did some of that last year. But it does feel like, again, the thing that I keep coming back to, even though I want to, you know, focus on other things, is just I know how important third down has become, because you've used that to mop up when you get into these third and long situations. And I think that having Nico has been the ultimate get out of jail free card, right? It's been the ultimate cheat code in that way, when it's like, yo, we're in this tough situation. Big, strong, fast guy that's has great sense of space has been an easy bailout.
Yeah.
And you don't have that to the same degree, which for me then goes, you need to be better, especially running the football as well, which would have been helpful if Joe Mixon would be back this week. I'm not saying that is written off, but a little dent in that hope, seeing that he didn't practice.
Now, Joe Mixon would have been huge, and he still may be, but he didn't practice today. It's not.
Oh!
He took it hard. He took it rough.
That's crazy what you just said.
Pause.
That's crazy, man. What?
He did. If we're being honest. Yeah, he did. He took it hard. But he's a star player in this league, and you need him now more than ever. That's the better way to put it.
Or Stephon Diggs.
Joe Mixon would be a big help, because the other way to combat this is to have that running game you had in week one, or some sense, you know, semblance of it. And who knows? Who knows how it's going to play? But you know, maybe the combination of Cam Akers, Damian Pierce can get it done.
You would hope. Are we closer again to having that conversation one more time, or should we just put that one to bed of like Cam Akers versus Damian Pierce? Because we had some of that conversation going into this week about the way that it handles, and you ended up with 15 carries for Dare in the course of this. I think some of this is just an ungovernable way of going about this, where we're a little surprised with the way that they handle offense in general.
Look, I'm still there. I just think Cam Akers is the second best running back on this team. And I think there's been proof, you know, on film, on tape, as coaches like to say. But again, it's not necessarily to just bash on Damian Pierce. It's about getting the best guy out there to give you a chance to win.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm looking at.
And what also stinks is that it seems like your offensive line, you're missing some guys a little bit as well, because Tytus Howard's still out. I know you were talking about Laremy Tunsil probably just having a little bit more of that management day. Which would be great, because you don't have another tackle on the depth chart after Blake Fisher.
Who is it?
Right.
Blake
Fisher's a swing tackle, right? And so if you say
who would play?
Would you somehow get Nick Broeker ready to go over there?
Probably.
But that's,
he played some tackle in the preseason. Yeah. I'm just a messenger.
I mean, look, I think the good thing about this is someone was highlighting, again, the four games that you have, as we mentioned, Pats, Packers, Colts, Jets. None of those really presents like an incredibly, like an over-the-top difficult matchup. Obviously, Packers and Jets are probably the ones that you look at and you go, they're not cakewalks
yeah.
over the time that Nico Collins isn't playing. But yeah, that gives you a little bit of opportunity to continue to find yourself. But they got to find themselves quick. I mean, hell, CJ was talking about that on McAfee. He quickly, very quickly and succinctly highlighted the issues that this team is dealing with offensively, putting themselves into long distances. Running the ball inefficiently, penalties. And he mentioned that how all those things have made it tough because you cannot live on just making it off a third down. And I think that that gets highlighted when you have Nico not there.
No, totally. And I think the other thing that gets highlighted is here we go again, the offensive line. You know, that is not a good Patriots defense. You are down Nico Collins. You have to run the ball, and you have to protect C.J. Stroud. That falls on the offensive line more than it ever has in this game because, you know, we talked about it. You know, is there anything with this game where the Texans might play down to the competition? The only way that happens is if the offensive line doesn't do its job.
Well, we're welcoming our guys, Ron and Clint, from The Drive as they're getting ready to take over. And earlier, we were, thinking about Drake May being thrown into this situation that seems like he is being thrown to the wolves. And I was like, have you had anything of the sort, anything similar, where you just felt like you were thrown into a situation that was going to be real tough to deal with? Anything come to mind for you? Because I know Lopez was talking about the time where he had to, what'd you have to do, set the front page of the paper?
Oh, my gosh.
Think you were thrown into the mix and you were not qualified to do. Like Drake May. So I had to do the front page of the newspaper when I was like 23 years old, the sports section. It looked like a fifth grader did it by the time I got through. Like I was totally in over my head.
Ooh, that's a good one, man.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's been several times, I don't know, wasn't qualified. People probably thought I was qualified, but I damn sure wasn't ready.
That's me.
I told a little bit of the Bon Jovi story the other day. I flew into Philly landed on a Friday, practiced and took about 6 or 8 snaps on a Saturday and started Monday night.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, people thought I was prepared, but I had no business being. and that was bottom of the barrel football league. So it was on national TV, though. That's a bad thing. Monday night football, so that's rough.
I can't top that one. We had to stay on that one.
Met Bon Jovi. Somehow walking across the parking lot in the middle of all that.
Well, you guys more than qualified to handle this. I mean, a lot of Texas news coming through, and I know you guys will get through all of that. Plus, D'Amico Ryan's getting talking too as well to give us some context on all this. So we're done here in the loop, getting ready to hand off to these fine fellas. You're listening to KLT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station, and right now The Drive is live. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.